Good afternoon. Hey, it's Tim Gillette here with another episode of the Tim Gillette Show. And I'm going to tell you, today's one of those episodes that I've really been looking forward to. I've been friends with this guy for a while on Facebook. I think we've crossed paths at conferences, but I can't say that we've stopped and had conversations at conferences. We're in like-minded areas. All right. He teaches one thing and I teach something different. We're both helping people create content. So that's the greatest thing I can say about it. And it is an honor to have him here today because really when it comes to podcasting, he's one of the champions in the field and he's someone I look up to very much, take insights from, advice from. All right. I think he's one of the leaders in podcasting. He is in the Podcasting Hall of Fame. I'm sure he'll tell us all about that and everything. His name, Dave Jackson, the School of Podcasting, and I am honored to bring him on today. Hey, Dave.
Hey, buddy. It's after an introduction like that, I'm like, I don't know if I can live up to that. That's tough, but I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Hey, you ever been on shows, Dave, where people are introducing you and you're like looking, going, okay, do I know who this guy is?
Is there somebody else here besides me? I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I get that too. All right. And it's part of marketing. You know what I mean? You want to make it sound like the person is awesome. I think you are. All right. And I've followed you for years, Dave. I think we've been friends on Facebook. I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years like that. Yeah. I remember connecting with you after the first podcast movement, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. And like you said, we do bump into each other in hallways every now and then or different events. And I'm like, oh, there's Tim again. So.
Yep. And I noticed you and I have actually spoken at some of the virtuals going on now. But I mean, we haven't got you over to ours yet, but I'm sure we will.
Sure.
I understand you got a lot going on right now.
Well, besides a book release, and I'm in what I'm going to call a three-phase moving. Phase one was moving my sister into a better house so that I could fix up the house that she was in, which happens to be the house that we grew up in. So that's where I'm at right now. And then phase three will be moving me in. All trying to do that. I live in Ohio before it gets too cold outside. So it's that's going on at the meantime, which always keeps things, entaining.
Yeah. So have you lived in Ohio your whole life?
Yeah, I've been I moved from Akron to Cleveland, which is about 45 minutes north, and was there for about 8 years while I was married. And when the marriage was no longer around, neither was I. I moved back to Akron. Both my sister and my brother have my brother's older, but he was in a car wreck and had major brain. So he looks perfectly fine, but every now and then just needs a little help. And my sister's always had just kind of special needs. So I just thought, let's move back down south so we can help them out when they need help. So.
So is your mom and dad still around or have they?
My mom died in 89 and that's sad. I don't remember the year my dad died, but he's been gone about 5 years. My mom died when I was 24. And so it's always been kind of interesting just to, cause I am the quote baby of the family. So, but yet my sister, that relationship really is more, I'm the person that's taking care of her a little more. So it's, it's your family, you love them. And that's really, what you do the right thing.
Yeah. I'm the oldest in ours and I always feel like I've got to watch out for my brothers, even though like I can tell you every one of my three younger brothers is wiser than me in one area or another. And I like that. I really do, but we look out for each other and that's it. Family, yeah. We look out for one another. Yeah.
That's the job of the older brother. My brother is hilarious because as I'm moving into a house, he's got a guy for everything. I was like, oh, I need this. I'm going to put in a new floor in the kitchen. He's like, oh, I got a guy for that. And it's like, so he's just out there, he's done everything first. So why not, tie into his experience and make things easier. So good on you being a good big brother.
Cool. I thank you, man. And I think it's just, I've got I'm on my third marriage and I have one daughter and two stepsons and I look after my stepsons just as much. To me, family's family, And in our world of podcasting, I've got family too, that I consider family, people who've connected you and me. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So Dave, all right. School of Podcasting. When did you get started in this? When did you even get started in podcasting? I know everybody knows it, but give us the brief.
Sure.
Yeah.
Back in 2005, my background is in corporate training. So I taught a lot of Microsoft Office and QuickBooks and things like that. But back in 2005, and this sounds weird, I was teaching things like how to surf the internet because people didn't know what it was and things like that. But a friend of mine had come back from a conference and said, hey, you know how you missed the MySpace boat, which again kind of dates this. And he said, I've seen the next big thing. It's going to be podcasting. And I remember I Googled it and there was 1.5 pages of results. And I was like, I think I broke the internet. Like, where's the rest of the stuff?
Yeah.
And at the time, everybody was saying membership sites are going to be the next big thing. And then my buddy comes back from this other thing and says, man, podcasting is going to be huge. And I was like, let's see if we put these two together, what happens. And the first few years were absolutely painful because nobody knew what a podcast was. And then once you explained what it was, they didn't want to do it. You had to be kind of a geek to get one going, you know. But for me, I just took a blog I'd been doing for musicians and turned it into a podcast. And my very first piece of feedback came from a guy in Nuremberg, Germany. And at the time, I was in absolutely nowhere, Ohio, called Mogador, out there with the cows. And I was like, wait a minute, there's a guy on the other side of the planet that not only found my podcast, but he likes it. And that's when I went, well, give me the flag. I'm going to plant that baby right here. Because for me, it's technical, so I'm kind of a geek. It's you can be as creative as you want. One of my other hobbies is music, so I like to be creative. And then the fact that I get to help people. And I was like, this has everything I'm looking for. So that's when I really – and I just knew if I waited around long enough, I was like, this has so much potential. It has to catch on. And it's been fun watching it kind of every year get a little more popular. So it's fun.
Yeah, and like I was doing it in 2012, but I was doing it I started 2012 and I started with, what is that? That I can't even think of that site that everybody used back then was.
Oh, Blog Talk Radio. Blog
Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And the reason I went with it was my business coach and mentor actually had a radio station, like an internet radio station. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody's trying to get. But I mean, that's like, even that's now, why are you paying someone several thousand dollars to be on an internet radio station when you can do a podcast by yourself? You know, now it's a, but that was my niche into it and the way I went through it. But you know, I didn't understand the technical, like there's technical stuff you can explain to me 50 times, Dave, and I'll still forget it.
So. Yeah. You, it's one of those things where, you know, when I learned how to drive a car, my dad showed me how to change the oil and how to change a tire. And that was really about as technical as I wanted to get. He was a mechanic. He wanted me to like learn how to take out an engine. I'm like, no, I'm good. That's you know, this is all I need to know. So you can get as deep or as, you know, stay as shallow as you want and be perfectly fine.
So, you know, so yeah. And that's it. My dad was a mechanic. So I get your technology on that. Yeah. The one thing that I really got more engaged with, you know, internet radio show and then podcasting was actually the 2015 mark where live streaming, you know, all of a sudden now became it. And are you using live stream in your podcasts?
Yeah, I actually started a show. It's been about 5 or 6 years now, maybe 7. It's probably one of those where it's been much longer than I remember. But I, again, was Blog Talk Radio had come out with some new features. And I was like, all right, let's start a podcast to test this out. So I started this show called Ask the Podcast Coach. And the whole thing was I could take live calls. And I tested it and I was like, well, that's enough of that. I figured out if I liked it or not. In this case, I was like, nah, not really for me. And my audience was like, well, wait, what are you doing? You've been here every Saturday. Like, don't leave. And I was like, well, okay. So then I forget what it was called. YouTube. It wasn't YouTube. It was Hangouts on Air.
Google Hangouts.
Yeah. So we did Hangouts on Air for a while. And then I think it's because I'm 55, so I grew up with Phil Donahue going, is the caller there? And I always wanted to have a call-in show. And so I found some technology. But what I finally discovered is as much as the host wanted to have a call-in show, and I had a separate computer and a screen and all this stuff set up, nobody wanted to call in because they had a chat box right there. Why do I call? I can just type my question right here. Yeah. And then I eventually, right now we're using StreamYard. I found StreamYard and it just makes it so easy and it goes to YouTube and all these other places. So I've been using StreamYard for pretty much almost since they came out. And I see other options and I'll go play with them. And I'm like, yeah, it's not quite as easy as StreamYard. And I love the, you know, so, but yeah, it's what's interesting about it is I get maybe if on a good Saturday, maybe 3% of my audience will show up live. But the thrill, I think, maybe the adrenaline rush of saying something live on a podcast and then seeing somebody react to it in a chat room is something that's just missing when you're doing, I mean, the one of the powers of podcasting is the time shiftedness. So I can record an episode and release it tonight, and you might not get that for another month and a half because you haven't found my show yet. Yeah. So that's great that, you know, and you can react to that later, but there is something really cool when you're, especially for me, a lot of times what I will do is I use that show as kind of a testing ground for an idea. I'm like, hey, I'm thinking of doing a show about this or that. Or I just had somebody this week that said, why don't you do an episode on the different business models of podcast media hosting? And I was like, that's a good idea. Because in the past, everybody kind of had the same, it was either free or not. And now there are a few that have come up with different models. And I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. I need to do that. So that's the other thing I love about it is I can see in real time what's working, the comments. You know, I remember once we had somebody come on and they started to steer the show into politics. Well, that's not what we're there to talk about. And instantly my audience is like, all right, let's bring out the hook, you know, get this out of here. So it's live is definitely a different beast. And I set mine up to where I ask my audience to join. And at first I was like, you know, what if everybody joins? I'm going to have all these people in here. And it's like, let's jump off that bridge when we get to it. And it's, again, because of the chat room is so easy. You're kind of anonymous, but not really, because I can see your name. But you don't have to worry if you're in your pajamas. This is Saturday mornings at 10:30, so maybe not everybody's ready to be on video. But I have that, so if people want to jump in. But yeah, live is definitely a different beast. But you also have to realize if you are letting people on your show and it's live, you have to develop the skill to know when to go, hey, thanks so much for coming on. We were glad you're here, and get them off, because I'm talking to podcasters. We like to talk. Yeah. And so when you see somebody kind of come, like they have an idea and they'll go around the bend and all of a sudden they come back and they start to repeat themselves, you're like, okay, they've kind of said all they had to say. Thanks for coming. Really appreciate the comment, and off you go.
Yeah.
Did you ever play with Blab?
Yes, that was huge. And that was the problem I had on Blab, is everybody got on there and you had to go, oh man, and bye.
Yeah, that's one. I had I remember a guy from Russia came on and he thought we were like Blab tech support.
Yeah.
And he was just complaining. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you, you know, click the help button. And I would eject him. And literally like 2 minutes later, he's back again. And I was like, so that actually helped me get used to that. Because it is, you feel kind of rude, like, hey, thanks for coming, and you're out of here. But Blab was an interesting experiment. Another one example of how free is not a good business model.
Yeah, good point. So,
yeah.
Well, speaking of business models, I'm just curious on your opinion in the podcasting world, because I'm this way in blogging the way I do it, is do you believe there's only one model we should follow, or do you believe that there's a ton of models?
There's a ton of models. In fact, I have a book called Profit from Your Podcast, and in it I talk about how people that are doing this for a living are not just doing advertising, are not just doing membership sites, are not just doing affiliate marketing. They have Adam Carolla, you know, the guy, the big podcaster, says the pool gets filled quicker when you got more hoses going into it. And I was like, that's a great analogy. So it's, you know, it really comes in handy, because there are times when, like for me, I have a membership site, I do consulting, but I also have affiliate marketing because people buy microphones on Amazon. On one of my shows, I started crowdfunding just for fun of it. So I kind of test everything, and you kind of need to have multiple streams of income, because if I was just doing affiliate marketing and was just crushing it with Amazon, about 6-7 months ago when they restructured it, and a lot of people, depending on what you were promoting, you kind of took a pay cut. And if you're only doing affiliate marketing, that would hurt. Same thing with people like YouTubers. You know, YouTubers, there are some people, again, that are just crushing it. And then all of a sudden YouTube goes, hey, you know what? We're YouTube. We don't really have to care. Guess what? We're going to change how we do this. And if you don't like it, well, then you can quit not paying us. You know what I mean? It's free. What are you going to do? And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of multiple streams of income. And that way you're kind of covered, because sometimes one will go down and one will go up. It's kind of almost like stocks. You know what I mean? One's going up, one's going down. And that way you kind of weather the storm. If somebody changes their terms of service or something like that, well, I've still got this income coming in over here.
Well, you know, you bring that up and I want to twist it a little bit because of the fact that I've always said, and I've never stopped saying this, you need to be building an email list, you get on a new platform, you need to build a following, things like that. What is your thoughts on, hey, should we still be building an email list?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, holy cow. Yeah. In fact, every time I hear a successful podcaster and somebody goes, what's your biggest regret? And if they don't say, I wish I would have started sooner, it's almost always, I should have started an email list. Mm-hmm. And when people talk about ratings and reviews and I'm just like, you know what, if I'm going to ask for anything, it's either, you know, buy something from me or get on my email list. And I don't have a lot of automation built into my email list. A lot of people do, and that's fine. I have a couple things that are set up, but I'm not the person where you're going to get the daily email from me or I'm just hitting you over the head. There's nothing wrong with that. I just don't have that set up. But it's with podcasting, when you're listening, and you can do fun things like, you know, schoolofpodcasting.com/subscribe. So if you're on a treadmill right now, that's easy to remember. But email, if you're reading an email, you are one click away from doing something that I want you to do.
Amen.
And it's just, it's that, you know, one click versus two clicks. Sometimes that second click is like, yeah, I'll do that later when I get home. And it's like, well, now, you know, you're one click away. So yeah, I'm with you. The power of email is nothing's trumping it yet. People think social media and all these other things, and it's like, nope, email. It's been around forever and it still works.
In 2010, when I got really involved in this, Dave, a lot of people were saying to me then, oh, you know, Tim, you're not going to need all that stuff. All you need, you don't even need a website. You just need social media. And I literally, I stopped counting in 2016. I think the number was at like 26 who told me that.
Yeah.
Or now had to go get jobs because they had no list. You know, they didn't think ahead.
Do you remember mp3.com?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why people still think I'm nuts. I'm like, Facebook will eventually like go away. And they're like, oh, it's too big to fail. And I'm like, mp3.com was so huge. It was like, well, think about MySpace. There's another one, but mp3.com had musicians that were making a living selling their music on this thing. And they didn't have their own brand. So they'd go, oh, just go to mp3.com/Dave Jackson. And the problem is not only were people selling their music there, they also had, you know, mainstream music was there. And so the problem was it was there somewhat illegally. And so they got sued and bought and sold and sued and bought and sold. And eventually, I don't know what mp3.com is now, but the problem is all these people lost their platform. And there was no way to go, hey, everybody that went to mp3.com/Dave Jackson, I'm over here at schoolofpodcasting.com. And so people just lost their audience. And they're like, I don't know where Dave went. He used to have good music or whatever. And I was like, so when I hear somebody go, oh, no, I'm just going to put all my eggs in this basket. I'm like, for me, I think you should have your website is your hub. That's where, and then all your social media, all your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram, all that stuff circles around your main website. That way, for some reason, something goes away, they go, oh, well, I know I can go find that person over here. So,
We believe that you should have this simple, easy domain name. Of course, my brand, Simple Easy Marketing, is because of the fact that if it's something you can say easily, they're going to remember it.
Yeah.
And first of all, you better own your name.com. First of all. Yeah.
Yeah. DaveJackson.com or DavidJackson.com. That guy has basically said, I'm going to get a restraining order if you ask me again, because I ask him every year and he's like, please stop. But the other thing, I love that simple, easy marketing is also make sure you can say it if you're a podcaster. When I first started doing podcast consulting, my brother just come back from Disney and he was explaining about the Fast Pass. And I went, ooh, I'm going to call that's my new consulting arm, Podcast Fast Pass. But the problem is when you say that, you have to say Podcast Fast Pass, because otherwise it sounds like, yeah, I don't know, Podcast Sassafras or something. Everybody's like, wait, what was that again? So make sure whatever you're going to pick, make sure it's easy to say as well, so you don't have to overpronunciate your words, because that drove me nuts. That lasted about 6 months. And I'm like, okay, enough of that name. So.
And it's a good point. Like School of Podcasting, who's going to ever forget School of Podcasting? I think that's brilliant the way you branded that. For me, you know, when I had long hair, the coolest thing I did was, is I get told I look like Tom Petty. So I bought nottompetty.com. You don't know how many times people would, that was the easiest way to get speaking somewhere, to get somebody to go to my website.
Yeah. I love that. That's hilarious.
But you know, there's points to this. All right. And I'm glad that, you know what I mean? We're able to talk about this today because Blab, I mean, we brought up Blab. I remember people on Blab even then saying, oh no, I don't need a website. Oh no, no, no. Blab, everything's going to be like this now. I'm on Blab, I'm good. And, you know, last year when we found StreamYard, I'm now finding about a couple dozen people I've seen since Blab. But like everybody splattered after Blab disappeared.
Yeah.
And you couldn't find them. And some people didn't have the money to go, you know, start a show somewhere. They just didn't, they never invested in themselves or their business. And now I want to ask you about investing. I'm sure you're getting your clients to go, hey, man, don't just use the free stuff. Invest. What are you talking about that right now in podcasting?
Well, if we talk like media hosts, mm-hmm. I think we're up to seven now that have tried this particular kind of business model, which is basically, hey, it's free. Come put your media files on this. And then what we'll do is we will sell advertising against, like, and you'll get some of that money too, but you know, and that's how we're going to make our money. So there was Podshow, Podango, wildvoice.com, mypodcast.com, audiometric.io, Opinion Podcasting, and Zcat. So I don't know however many that is. And the one that was on its way to go out of business until Spotify bought them was Anchor, because yeah. It's just not a good, my favorite thing about Anchor is they go, you can make money from day one with sponsors. And I was like, well, I got to see what's going on. I kind of test everything. And the only sponsor, and I've talked to numerous people that have tried Anchor, the only sponsor over there is Anchor. Like you ever, and I was like, wait a minute. So the one thing that's supposed to be bringing them in money is actually another way for them to lose money. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there are some free things I will use, but most of it, it's just, I want something that I can bring into my workflow and be there for the long haul. I don't want to like halfway through go, oh, I was using the software, but I don't know, the website went away and I got to take time to not only find a replacement, but then go through the learning curve and things like that. It's like, it's just so much easier to do that. And plus, you know, it's a tax write-off. It's an expense.
Yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, I think I added it up one year, what it costs just to run my website and all the tools that go around it. And like most people are like, oh man, I can't afford that. I think it's like maybe $2,500 a year for everything I got.
Yeah.
Guys, I mean, I blow more than $2,500 a year on coffee.
Well, and I was looking to get a new bicycle. Mm-hmm. That's one of my other hobbies, you know, and you're looking at, in some cases, you know, $700-$800 for a cheap bike and thousands of dollars for one, or, you know, go bowling, go golfing. You know, you're going to blow some money and nobody sneezes at that. They're like, yeah, let's go bowling. It's four games plus, you know, a couple beverages and maybe you're going to get a really slimy hamburger while you're there, you know, and you got done. If you go to the movies, you just blew 40, 50 bucks, but you're not willing to put out $15 for a media host and $10 for an email list. And, you know, all this other stuff. I'm like, you're blowing money and this might actually help you bring in money. It was like, so that's the part that always makes me scratch my head.
And the biggest thing that you've helped the students you've helped in podcasting over the years, what is the biggest failures you see repeated over and over again that you wish you can go back and go, dude, I told you, because the last guy failed at this.
Yeah. I want to be everything to everyone, you know, where they don't have, 'cause my first thing is, why are you doing this? You have to figure that out. And if it's like, I want to make money, and I'm like, okay, how are you going to help your audience transform into something? Whether it's you're making them laugh or cry and they'll pay for that, or you're helping them, like I'm paying a guy right now, he's transforming my living room from one color to the other, and I will pay for that. And so you have to figure out, like, why are you doing this? And then you have to figure out, who is that? And so many people are like, oh, it's for everybody. But what if I did a guitar podcast? Is that for the person that's just learning G, C, and D, or is it for the person that wants to shred their face off? Because if I do a show for everybody, the shred guy is going to be bored out of his gourd when I talk about, okay, here's how you play a G. And if I go down to that level, I'm like, let's talk about the letters of the strings. That shred guy is going to be gone. So you can't just be everything to everyone. You have to pick a genre and go with that. And just be okay with the fact that, all right, not everybody's going to love this. You know, some people are going to like it and some people are not. And that takes a little getting used to because we just want to be loved by everybody, man. But once you figure out, here's what I'm doing, here's who it's for. I always say starting a podcast is not hard. It really isn't. I mean, I could burp into my phone and have it in Apple in probably a week. So it's not hard to start one. The hard part is, here's what I want to happen. Here's who I'm talking to. Now, what can I talk about that's going to hold their attention, but also move them to do whatever it is I want them to do? And that's the part that you have to do a little thinking on. So it's a fun process. And I always tell people, you know, your podcast is not a statue. It's a recipe. But I see some people that just have no, you kind of have to aim a little bit. Because I realize that no matter what you do, by the time you get to episode 10, you're going to go, oh, you know what? I thought we were going to do this. Let's do this instead. But you have to have some sort of idea of where you're going.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree with that. So let's say hi to a couple of people who have been jumping in here and leaving notes for us here. We've got Joe Ingram. All right. I don't know if you know Joe. Barb, we both know Barb Tomlin. So.
We do know Barb. Happy birthday, Barb. I think it was today or yesterday.
Yeah, I think Barb's birthday is today. Happy birthday today.
There you go.
David Fagan, great. It's always good to see you. You know David?
The name's ringing a bell.
JV Mastermind. He's out of Arizona. So
okay.
Terry Johnson. I was actually in the audience on one of Terry's shows. This was this morning. So nice. Cindy Lee, she's somebody who follows me. She does this whole thing on like the bucket list podcast. She's learning a podcast right now. Cindy. Nice. Plug into Dave, man. Oh, here's a good guy that you and I both know in common there, Joe Pardo.
That's right. The one and only Super Joe Pardo. Super
Joe Pardo. So he's actually going to change his branding. He's been talking. Yeah, he joined my mastermind. We've been talking about, you know, his branding and stuff like that. And he thinks he's going to pull the super out.
Oh, come on.
Hey, but I mean, Dave, I was originally known as Rocker Life Coach. I mean, you've got to grow out of a brand, you know? Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Wynn Charles, I always love when I see her pop up here and there. So,
yeah.
And then we have a Facebook user who's probably in one of my Facebook groups just saying hi. So,
thanks.
Good to see all these people joining us in. You know, Dave, you know what I mean? You give quite a bit of advice. You know what I mean? You've shared quite a bit of how people, you help some of the people coming through your programs. Was there a mentor that someone who came along and was like gave you a piece of advice that has mentored you that you could share?
Yeah, I had two. One was a high school teacher, and I got fired from my first job because I was too shy. And a lot of people are like, no. And I'm like, no, that's straight up truth. Wouldn't talk to customers, super like introvert. And he just said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to act the way you want to be. And then eventually someday you'll be the way you act. Now today we've rephrased that to fake it till you make it, but that's kind of what I did. But another one was when I first started podcasting, and I'm doing a podcast for musicians. Well, there's a guy that's like the godfather of all music marketing, and his name is Bob Baker. And one of my first guests was Bob Baker. And I brought him on, and before we even started, I'm like, well, how did you become such a guru? And he goes, well, you just have to realize you don't have to know everything. You just kind of have to know, in some cases, more than whoever you're coaching. And I was like, well, that's true. That's, I've always had that with teaching. And he said, in my case, I'd been in band since he had been a teenager. He goes, I'd written a couple articles for magazines and things like that. And he goes, I just grabbed my imaginary magic wand and went, poof, you're a guru. And he goes, that's all. And from there you went out and I was like, oh, well, so I just grabbed my imaginary wand and went, poof, all right, you're a guru. Here you go. Because at that point I'd gone through and figured out how to make a podcast and everything else. So I knew more than some people. And it was like, hey, follow me. Let me help you avoid the mistakes and we'll get going. So that was one that it kind of helped. I think we all have that imposter syndrome. And I was like, oh, all right, this guy's not as smart as I thought he was. He's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. But he was a guy that's like, nah, you don't have to know everything, because you can't. There's no way, especially in a technology field.
And it's true. I mean, as I see in the technology field so often, I'll see two very wise people and they have two different opinions and they're both right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's just like the people who say, well, what is the one microphone to get? There's a million answers to that question.
Yeah, sure.
I find it interesting. You know what I mean? You, one of them you said was a teacher. All right. Mm-hmm. And lessons you've learned. I carry with me, Dave, from my early years. I think I was 20 or 21 years old. I had a boss give me a piece of advice that helped me own everything. And that was a boss who told me, you run this business when you're here, like you own it. And ever since then, I took ownership of my life. Isn't it funny that sometimes those little things that are said to us when we're younger just get like indented in the brain? Oh.
My grandfather, when I got my second job, my first job was as a grocery bagger, got fired from that, got hired at another grocery place. And it turns out I got the job before I figured this out. But my grandpa used to be a bread delivery guy for Wonder Bread. And he knew the guy that was like the owner of the store, and he were friends. And so it was kind of one of those where my grandpa's probably like, oh man, I hope this guy doesn't, you know, I hope my grandson doesn't bite it here because it's going to look bad on me. And it was kind of this like almost Walton's Mountain. For those of you who remember that moment where I'm standing in the garage with my grandpa and he looked at me, he said, look, he goes, remember, you're a Jackson, you go home tired. He goes, leave it all on the, you know, basically leave it all on the stage and get out there. He goes, because, you know, if you want to make it, you don't phone it in. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't realize being a Jackson, I had to work harder. Okay. But it was kind of like, hey, it's the family name, buddy. I've worked hard on keeping that up there. So that was another one that I was like, oh, all right, I got to run faster because otherwise grandpa's going to be disappointed. So, you know, it's amazing the little things that stick in your brain that you still remember.
Wow. It is. So through this, I mean, I want to go direct it a little bit and go in this direction through this past year. All right. COVID had and shall we say the crap show that is 2020.
Yes.
What has Dave learned in 2020 that he's applying? It's going to make it better for him and his students in the next year.
That is a good question. Every person that I interviewed that is really having success are the people who really, really understand who their audience is. And looking at that, you kind of go, duh. But there are times when we're like, well, I think it's people that do this and maybe some people. And then it's like, but the people who really know are like, nope, my audience is 80% guys. They're 34 to 56. They've got 2.5 kids. You know, their wife is a lawyer. Like, they just go into insane details. And the reason, how do you do that is by interacting with them. And it's one of those things that we want to happen overnight. I just heard this phrase. I wish I knew who said it. I think it's one of those anonymous things. You don't eat the fruit the day you plant the seed. And it's really one of those things that I was like, man, I'm writing that one down. Because we do. We want to start a podcast and we want to make money or we want to make an impact or whatever it is. And it's like, you're not going to do that on day two. You're still, you know, got the training wheels on and things like that. So I think that's the one thing that I've kind of always known, but it really came into, it just seemed like every time I turned around, it was like, yep, there's another person. Look at that. Exactly knows who they're going at.
Cool. So, you know, I wanted to redirect that question a little bit differently, but it's kind of the same question, but put it this way, because, you know, Dave, my mission, I put a mission behind what I do in my business. And that is in my lifetime, I want to create 10,000 bloggers, vloggers, and podcasters, help them get a following of 10,000 and help them monetize that into $10,000 a month. That being said is why I interview people like you, because you're the tool. I got to connect to people like you because you can teach things I don't know. What advice would you give to my audience knowing that's who I'm helping?
Well, number one, be in it for the long haul and 10,000 downloads. See, here's the thing. 10,000 downloads or 10,000 subscribers or whatever you're going for is going to take some time. And in some cases, the more niche you get, what if there's not 10,000 people into Pygmy Ponies? You know what I mean? So it's, and I've seen people that have had success with small audiences. I helped somebody. She used to do a show called Special Mouse, and she had a son who was really high on the autism spectrum, and she loved Disney. And so she was an absolute expert on the law, on exactly what amusement parks had to do to accommodate people with special needs. And she got a sponsor. Who was the sponsor? A person in Florida who specialized in what? You guessed it, transporting people with special needs. So you don't always need 10,000 downloads and things like that to get going. But, and also looking at your stats doesn't make them grow. You've got to focus on your audience. It's people love, and look, I'm there with you. I was there in the early days. So, and just keep at it. The other thing is, stay consistent. And in two ways, stay consistent by always delivering value and stay consistent in whatever schedule you pick. And that varies. That's almost like a microphone. You said, what's the best microphone? What's the best schedule? It depends on who you're talking to. You know what I mean? If my goal is to keep my brand in front of people, I'll do a 5-minute podcast 3 days a week. If I want to show that I'm an expert, I'll do a show once a week and do a deep dive. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on who it is. It also depends on who your audience is. I'm not going to do a 30-minute show for busy moms because, well, they're busy moms. They don't have 30 minutes to listen to a podcast.
Yeah. So great, great, great advice. All right. And that's it. I mean, I personally have a mission. That's why I'm interviewing people like you, and that's it. My mission drives me, not getting the Ferrari, not getting a new house. I can care less about that stuff, really. But I'm mission driven, and I always thank people like you who are, you know, help me in my mission. Really, you are. So Dave, you know, before I go into my game here, what is the website that people can connect with you if they want to find out more about Dave Jackson?
Yeah, the contact, the everything you need out there is at schoolofpodcasting.com.
So, very simple and easy to say. So even those on the audio are going to actually catch that, schoolofpodcasting.com.
Yeah, I go for the obvious stuff. You know, I have one show called Weekly Web Tools. I have another one called Logical Weight Loss. So my audience doesn't go, I wonder what that show's about. I'm like, let's just hit them over the head with the obvious.
How many different ones do you have right now, podcasts?
6 or 7. It depends. I have a couple that I just put out because I'm in the middle of this move. I went to my audience and said, hey, I'm going to take about a month and a half off. I'll be back in December. And until then, enjoy my back catalog. Because it was just a case where if I tried to do all this extra curricular stuff that I have going on and do the podcast, I would probably try to do it at the expense of my health. Of just like, oh, who needs to sleep? I'll sleep when I'm dead. That doesn't work anymore. Yeah. So it's like something had to go because I'm bringing in all this stuff into my life. And I was like, okay, what's going to go? And I was like, well, these are ones I kind of do as a hobby anyway. And I just went, look, I appreciate you listening, but here's what's going on. And because they like you, they understand. They're like, oh, cool. Have fun. I'm glad to hear you're getting a house. You know, so.
Well, yeah, I did. I remember the first year I did my blog and video con was the year that I bought this house and we were renovating it. And that year was the one rental I had vacated and I had to go fix it and fix this house and fix my other one. My mom was moving here and I was trying to put on my first bigs. Yeah.
Yeah. When it rains, it pours.
At one time, guys.
Yeah.
So, well, Dave, you know what I mean? I thank you for coming on and being our guest today, for giving us some information. I do like to close out my podcast with a little game I like to call This or That.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. We've got about 8 questions here. All right. We're going to start off with our first one I like to ask everybody, and that is Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. You one of the original series, or when did you get into Star Wars?
I was forced to watch Hee-Haw and Star Trek as a small child. And my sister to this day, if like The Trouble with Tribbles comes on, she will watch it. And I'm like, I've seen that at least when I'm like, I'm done. So, and because of that, it was just a bad taste in my mouth. So I never got into the, I understand they're great and, you know, live long and prosper and that whole nine yards. But I saw the original Star Wars. I think I saw like 15 times. I mean, I was like a little kid when that came out and I just kept going back and going back. So I am not quite the mind of a child where you get lost in the story. Now I'm kind of like, wait a minute. You can't. I'm too logical now. I'm like, man, he wouldn't be dead. That's not, you know, and I pick apart. But Star Wars for instead of Star Trek.
It's and have you seen the commercial with Star Wars versus Star Trek for Uber Eats?
I am not.
Oh, there's a series coming out. Luke, the actor played Luke and the actor played John Picard are in it. And it's basically, it's not necessarily Star Wars versus Star Trek, but it's the characters acting and saying stuff that would be related to it. And supposedly they're doing 3 of them. So I'm waiting to see them. Yeah. Interesting content out there.
Some good marketing.
Yeah. So my next one here is, I know you're, you know, I mean, normally I would ask podcasts, but in your case, if you're going to get information, would you listen to an audio book or read an actual print book?
Oh, I'm right now. I never read an actual print book. I haven't done one of those. So if you give me your book and like, hey, I want you to have this. Thank you. There's a really good chance I'm never going to crack that thing. I have a ton of Kindle books, but right now, because I can listen, I don't know. I can read pretty fast too, but I like audio. So I like audio books. I'm a big Audible guy.
Cool. So that's yeah, I'm getting that way too. So my next one moves into a couple food products. Number one, I got to ask, is it taco or hamburger if you had to choose one?
Hamburger.
Yeah, I was a hamburger kid. I don't know why. So
yeah.
Next one here, it's like I kind of picked up on this one here. I'm going to ask, you know what I mean? So if you're watching Friends, which was your favorite girl, Rachel or Monica?
Oh, Rachel. Oh, so Rachel. Yeah.
How about beer or wine?
That's interesting. Boy, that's a tough one. Probably beer.
Yeah.
But just barely. Cause when I was young, I hated the taste of beer. Mm-hmm. And you could buy a bottle of Kenai wine for $3.59. And that would make me really happy. And it wasn't like, you know, beer is an acquired taste, and it took me a while to acquire that taste. And even that, people laugh because I'll get like a Miller Lite or a Bud Light, and they're like, that is yellow water. And I'm like, it doesn't make me go after I drink it. So,
but yeah, but like, you know, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and you get up through that center part of the country there. Oh my God, there are such great craft breweries.
Yeah. Yeah. When I went to Australia, I said, give me something very Australian. And it was so not what I'm used to drinking. So it was fun.
How about this one? Does pineapple belong on pizza? Yes or no?
See, this is where I'm somewhat, not extreme, but I'm somewhat of a finicky eater. And I'm also the kind of guy that when I find something I like, I rarely deviate. So I will go pepperoni. And if I'm going to go crazy, pepperoni with onions. That's it. Or if I want to go boring, I'll go cheese. But that's as crazy as I get is pepperoni and onion. So now I like pineapple. Never tried it, but I'm going to say no. Put that on a cake or something like that.
Okay. See, that's one that people have opinions on. And speaking ones that people have opinions on,
all right.
This question here has gotten controversy all over. It's why I have it. The toilet paper, does it go over on the roll or under?
Over. Always. Yeah, if it's under, in my house, if it's under for whatever reason, I'm not sure what this is, because the vent was right there, you would come in and the toilet paper would be all over the floor. But if it was over, for some reason, it would just flap in the wind. But I guess when it flaps in the wind and it's under, it starts it unrolling. So you would just open up the door and there'd be this giant pile of toilet paper. So over.
All right. That one there is a controversial question, and I can't tell you how many people, Dave, from the calmest people in the world around my podcast, when it comes to that question, fangs come out.
Oh, yeah.
And the most unique answer was Cammy Baker up in New Hampshire. I don't know if you know Cammy. Cammy said, I'm single, and if I start dating a guy and I go to his house and change that toilet paper to over from under three times, I'm breaking up with him. The relationship's going nowhere. So
that's a red flag. That's hilarious.
Yeah. My last one is kind of this interesting one I like to ask, and that is boxers or briefs?
Boxers or briefs? I have to remember, I know what boxers are. What are briefs? Briefs are, because they're not bikini, right?
They're tidy whities.
Boxers these days. Earlier in my life, it was actually bikinis. I found a very, very, very old pair of those, and I'm like, I used to actually wear those. Uh-huh. And so now I'm down to boxers, and
See, but you know, you're an Ohio guy. I'm a Pennsylvania guy. Growing up, all right, you know what I mean? When you get to early adulthood, was it like, okay, just ask grandma when she said, what do you want for your birthday? Grandma, just get me socks and underwear.
Socks and underwear, I didn't have to tell people to do that. That was always a given. So it was always socks, underwear, and guitar strings. That was something, I thought, just give me guitar strings. Because eventually I would end up using those, so.
So see, it's not that hard of a quiz. It's just a little bit of fun questions there. So, Dave, I appreciate you coming on one more time. Tell everybody the website where they can come find you.
Yeah. schoolofpodcasting.com.
Cool. Dave Jackson, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you coming on here, spending some time with us today and sharing your knowledge and information with us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was awesome. Thank you so much.
Cool. And to you, the audience members, thank you for tuning in to this another great episode of Dave Jackson. Please go check him out, schoolofpodcasting.com. Trust me, he's somebody you want to know in the podcasting industry. It is always great to know those people who can take you to the next level, and Dave is happens to be one of them. I'm Tim Gillette with the Tim Gillette Show. Be sure to go and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time with another great guest. Until then, bye now.